So it's come to my attention that there's an epidemic that's sweeping across the nation, from coast to coast, from north to south, east to west, affecting hundreds of individuals and families and so forth, from the rich to the poor, from the poor to the rich, and so on. Maybe it's an epidemic that you've had some experience with. You ready for it? It's what I like to call the epidemic of the crumbs. Have you heard of this? Have you had this experience? Years ago, I can remember growing up on our family farm and with two siblings, it happened every now and then that you'd go to the cupboard after working outside on the family farm and you want that favorite snack food. You want those cookies, those chips, whatever it is you weren't supposed to eat, but you went for it anyway. And you went there and you pulled down the bag or the box and you go inside and what do you come out with? Crumbs. A little bit later, going into college and having absorbed something known as the roommate. Every once in a while, you go to the cupboard and you sit down with your buddies or your friends or you're having a get-together of sorts, and you go for your favorite bag of chips or your snack food or your cookies, and you reach in, and what do you pull out? Crumbs. I had this conversation with some folks recently, especially as it's, well, you know what season it is, football season. At least when the games aren't being rained out like Nebraska's game against Akron last night. I'm not bitter. But in those moments, what do? They go for their favorite snack food. They go for the Tostitos, the salsa, and you're hoping and praying as the big game is about to start, your favorite food will be there. But it happens every now and then that when you go for the bag or the package, you come up empty. Or maybe you're left with crumbs. Maybe, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but maybe you've had that experience with somebody in your own household, a child, a parent, a spouse. Don't look to your left or right. Kind of begs the question, doesn't it? I mean, who would settle for crumbs? Over the years, I've had this refrain going through my mind from my parents and from other wise people in my life. If it's almost empty, throw it away, but then replace it. But sometimes it seems that we get to this place where we settle for crumbs, don't we? The woman that we heard about in our gospel reading today from Mark chapter 7 is somebody who would settle for crumbs. You heard the story. Here's what Mark shares with us. In a little background, Jesus is now moving into areas that are considered non-Jewish, or the fancy churchy word there or scriptural word is a Gentile. Gentile territory, a non-Jewish territory. And as we know about Christ, he's got grace to go around. And he comes to this place, and as is the custom, people want to spend time with Jesus. And this woman is no exception. Here's what we discover. But immediately, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Jesus and came and fell down at his feet. Now, the woman was a Gentile or a non-Jew, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Her big response to Christ, despite how he may have sounded or come across, and to be honest with you, trying to add voice to our words, Lord, is really speculation. Kind of hard to wrap our minds around maybe what's the emotion going on in this situation, at least from Christ's standpoint. But what we do know and what we hear is just this. This woman is willing to settle for what? Crumbs. You see, for her, she knows that Jesus, whatever he gives, whether large or small, that's our definition. Whatever Christ gives, it will be enough for that day. Here's my question to you. Does our God deal in crumbs? In other words, is that what we know about our good and gracious God, that he is in the business of just giving us leftovers or bits and pieces? Let me share with you a little bit earlier what Mark records for us in chapter 1. We might call this enough grace for the many. Look what Jesus does here. Verse 32, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. God doesn't deal in crumbs. And I don't know if you've heard that before, but I hope you hear it today. Our God does not deal in crumbs. He deals in what? Abundant grace. Let me say that again. Our God does not deal in crumbs or leftovers. He deals in abundant grace for the many. Let me give you another example from Mark chapter 6. And maybe you know this. It's recorded in three different gospel accounts. Well, let me share with you what Mark shares with us in chapter 6. Pick it up at verse 41. And by the way, you know the story. There's this whole group of people out with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus has his entourage just following. He's got groupies by this point. And no matter where Jesus goes, no matter where he tries to steal himself away, there are people there who want to spend time with Jesus. And I hope the same can be said for you and me as a Christ follower, that people want to spend time with you because they get something they don't get anywhere else. But in this situation, they're in the middle of nowhere. I'm talking like middle of Nebraska, sand hills, western panhandle, nowhere. So there's all these people, and it's numbering in the hundreds and thousands. And the disciples ask a good question. Jesus, and I think the footnote there that's missing is Subway's closed. Panera, it's not around yet. Jesus, what are we going to do to feed all these people? And you know the story. He takes what little they have, and he does something extraordinary with it. Take a look. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And get this. The disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces and bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. That's just the guys. Factor in the women and children, 5,000 plus. Friends, God does not deal in crumbs. He deals in an abundant grace for the moment. And maybe you've had that experience in your life where you've been down and out and you've been in this arid desert wilderness place. And you've had that. You've had that grace of God moment for you because of God's love for you. So God doesn't deal in crumbs. God doesn't deal in leftovers. God deals in abundant grace for the moment. Think back to the woman from Syrian Phoenicia, Greek. We remember what happened, right? Verse 27, first let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs eat under the table the crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. See, for her, she knows that whatever Jesus is willing to give, it will be more than enough. And even if it's left over from everything else he's already given to other people, whatever he chooses to give in that moment, in that time, in that place, in that relational context, it will be enough. God doesn't deal in crumbs. He deals in abundant grace for me, is her response to our Lord. Speaking of me, it makes me think of the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Maybe you know part of the background here, and I encourage you to take a look at it. But Paul talks about this thorn in his flesh, whatever it is. This thorn in his flesh that is just this persistent, nagging source of discomfort and agony, whatever it is. Maybe you've had a thorn. Maybe you know about thorns. Maybe you got one in your side right now. I don't know. But look how Paul talks about God's grace for him. The kind of grace that God individualizes for you. This is what he says. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Maybe you know that feeling. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Friends, God doesn't deal in crumbs. God deals in abundant grace for me and for you. Would you repeat this with me for a moment? God doesn't deal in crumbs. He deals in abundant grace for me. That's for you. That's for you. Not because of any scorecards you might be keeping. Not because of good works. Not because of all the hats you wear or the places you've been or what's in your bank account or what's not there or who you know or who you don't know. This is God's grace for you because of who he is. Let's say it one more time. God doesn't deal in crumbs. He deals in abundant grace for me. One more time. God doesn't deal in crumbs. He deals in abundant grace for me. Where do you need to hear that this morning? You see, I think some of us here maybe have been operating on what we perceive to be crumbs or maybe leftovers, because that's how the world has treated you and me, because that's what the world has given to you. But that is not the way with our good and gracious God, who deals in abundant grace because of who he is, because of his character, because of his unconditional love for you. Maybe this is something that you need to take home today. And if you haven't written anything down at this point, maybe this is a good time. Paper and notes come and go, right? We don't like to hoard stuff. So I call upon you today to do this. Write it here. And as God scripts it on your heart today through his Holy Spirit and his word, don't wipe it away. Tomorrow morning when you get out of bed, maybe this is one of the first things that you need to see before the newspaper or the internet or your text messages or whoever or whatever it is you're following. Maybe you need to see this glimpse of our good and gracious God for you, who doesn't deal in crumbs but deals in abundant grace for you. And how do we know that? Because Jesus has paid it all for you. Christ has done for you and for me what we could never, ever do. Pay a debt we could never, ever begin to repay. And the lawyer we would need to go and fight the case for us in court, that lawyer has been offered to you free of charge. And any mistakes and any baggage you and I have accumulated or had stuck to our feet, even today, Christ has paid it for you. And maybe today, as you hear that, you're thinking, oh, boy, if you really knew what my past week was like, I mean, if you knew the conversations I had, if you knew what I looked at in the privacy of my own time, if you knew how I treated my spouse, if you knew how I treated my classmates, if you knew where I've been, you'd recognize that I have not dealt in abundant grace. I've actually withheld it. If that is where you're at today, then let me say this loud and clear. For you, God does not deal in crumbs. He deals in an abundant grace. And today, you and I are blessed to hear this invitation once again. Come to the table, not of crumbs, but of abundant grace for you. Peter shares this with us in this passage, 1 Peter 2:24. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. God doesn't deal in crumbs. He deals in what? Abundant grace. So here's my challenge for you. Today is your opportunity to extend abundant grace to other people. You don't have to go back to doing the way you've been doing things before you came here today. You are all invited to come as you are, but don't leave as you were. Leave as someone who operates not with crumbs or leftovers, but with what? Abundant grace. God's abundant grace for you. Let's pray. Father, if we take an honest look at our lives, it's true. We are recipients of abundant grace that would see you give your one and only Son for us. Father, in your word, you call upon us as your followers, as your children, to do in like fashion, to extend abundant grace in conversations, in relationships, in your church, in how we see the Great Commission. And yet so oftentimes we have held back for issues of anger or pride, confusion, bitterness, things that are just not of you. Father, today, by the power of your Holy Spirit and through your word, bring change. Continue to pour into our lives and into this church your abundant grace that sees your children going out to do likewise. Not giving out crumbs or leftovers, but abundant grace. In the name of Jesus, amen.